Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Another opening of another show.
Well, this is a big moment. It's the first report I've done in a year and a half during which I am reviewing multiple Broadway plays. Yes, I saw three this past week. Of course, there are still virtual offerings around the country, but it's time to focus on what has been called the Great White Way. Though based on what I've seen lately, that name may have to change. Well, let's start with Lackawanna Blues, the Manhattan Theater Club production, written, directed, and performed by Ruben Santiago Hudson. This is a project that goes back some 20 years, first at the Public Theater, then as a TV film directed by George C. Wolfe, which had a star-studded cast. Well, now there is only Santiago Hudson in the cast, playing some 25 very colorful characters with names like Numbfinger Pete. They inhabited the boarding house where he was raised by a big-hearted woman everyone called Nanny. It reflects the time and place when and where people, at least in that New York town, were taken care of, like the government, if it worked, notes one character. It's a lovely 90-minute show. Santiago Hudson is accompanied by the guitarist, Junior Mack, who matters more than you might think. The star also plays a mean harmonica, by the way. It's an appropriate piece for this moment, not just because of the racial issue, which really is not entirely the point here, but because it's about kindness and toughness when need be. Nanny may have been feeding her boarders cookies in something called everything soup, but she had no tolerance for those who abused others. Lackawanna Blues is up until November 7th. The next show I saw was Thoughts of a Colored Man, a new play written by Kenan Scott II. It's had some mixed reviews, but I predicted may go the distance, meaning I'm playing at least for several months. Now, I mention this because Passover, which was bravely the first play to open on Broadway and was definitely about the Black experience, has already closed ahead of schedule. So folks are watching these well-intentioned works closely, since Broadway is ultimately about making money. Thoughts of a Colored Man gives us seven very fine actors with monikers like anger and love and depression. In other words, they are as much about ideas as people. But the cast manages to do and be more than that. The intermissionless show is basically a series of vignettes that take on various aspects of Black life. The barbershop is our sanctuary, is one setting. Plenty of the lines could be considered trite and obvious. Lines like, how do you stop the Black man? You kill the Black boy. Our skin makes us men before we're ready. Instead of hanging us, they hang our jerseys. That one is part of a segment about sports. But they are delivered so well that they mostly garner knowing response from an appreciative audience. Thoughts of a Colored Man is about seven men, not a woman in sight. But obviously, it's about much more than that. If you let judgment go, it's a rather rollicking time. In one line in the Lehman trilogy, my next play, the onstage office is described as a magical music box. And in fact, that's what the set feels and looks like for this production, which was a hit a few seasons back at the Armory. I reported on it then. And it was just starting a move to Broadway when, well, COVID struck. It's just open at the Niederlander Theater on West 41st Street, where it's scheduled to run till January. Now, I predicted we'll make that deadline, maybe even an extension, though this one is not for everyone. The Lehman Trilogy is 3 hours and 15 minutes long, with two intermissions, and it's essentially the radio play that it began as years ago, first in Italy and then in England. At that time, it was 9 hours, so this is a short version. Here, three amazing actors portray multiple characters, not unlike Ruben Santiago Hudson, by the way, and essentially they tell their own stories with specific, very specific narration. Then he picked up a pencil. Then he smiled. In other words, this one is all about telling, not showing. But what can I say? It mostly works. It's dazzling to experience, and I expect all three actors, Adrian Lester, Adam Gottlieb, and Simon Russell Beale in particular, to be Tony-nominated. There's a lot of history in this one, three brothers arriving from Bavaria to start a life in America, going from selling fabrics and raw cotton to slave plantations in the South, to finally coming to New York to become bankers and traders. It covers more than 150 years, including a Black Tuesday and a 2008 crash. There are some things that are glossed over, especially in an overcrowded third act, what things that we'd like to know more about, but director Sam Mendes doesn't give us time to ponder and wonder. I might also mention that Adrian Lester is a black man here playing one of the Jewish immigrants from the famous Lehman family. My, how things have changed. Thank you, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Now, as for other news, on a slightly similar subject, a wild back and forth has been going on in Los Angeles. Jeremy O. Harris threatened to pull Slave Play from the Mark Taper Forum lineup in solidarity with female playwrights who have been noting their lack of representation in that city. Well, there was some emergency negotiating, and the Center Theater Group has now committed to programming the entire 2022-23 season of the Mark Taper with plays written by women or non-binary playwrights. Shortly after that concession, Harris announced its decision to allow Slave Play to remain in the LA lineup. Well, we'll see how that one does. It received a record Tony nominations, but did come out empty. Speaking of theater and the female voice, check out the Wild Projects play called A Venomous Color, The Fairest. It's about the all-woman animating staff that worked at Walt Disney Studios in 1937. And this off-Broadway company's offering the women-only ink and paint department rushes to finish Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs with little time, little pay, and no air conditioning. I believe this one is in person and streaming, but go to the Wild Project site to find out. Speaking of streaming, the New York Theater Workshop is concluding its run of Sanctuary City on stage. That will be streaming access, but it will be streaming allow streaming access to this production. This is a powerful piece, which I reported on several years ago as it was wending its way to New York City. That streaming access begins October 25th and continues through November 21st. It's a good play. So, off-Broadway and on, things are hopping. Times Square is crowded, lines are everywhere, and the big ticket shows, Wicked, Lion King, Hamilton, Hadestown Waitress, Moulin Rouge, they're filling up most every performance. But the ticket booths are open and offering inexpensive seats for the newer and less known productions. So, Jill, I think we can return to our original title, Stage Right or Not, and bid farewell to No Stage Left.
Which is not only really good news, energy level is really very, very. Yeah. Are you surprised or are you...
I have to say I was a little surprised, pleasantly surprised, especially when I went to the first one about a month ago. That was Passover, but that was very early on, and it was the very first show, and it wasn't very... well attended. People were still very nervous. You know, all the precautions are being taken, but boy, when I went last week, I'm telling you, the whole, besides the fact that every restaurant is on the street and you can't walk, you know, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, there was a lot of excitement in those theaters, I have to say, and tremendous self-satisfaction. You know, they applaud themselves when the announcer says, well, this is our first show in 18 months. The energy is there, I got to tell you. I'll be surprised if it goes back the other way.
So I've got one more question, and that is, do you think, how do you think that the people who have been most dubious, did you think that they are ready?
Some of them are.
This is more a general thing. Because the interesting part, we've got a minute to thrash this out. If the interesting part is, you know, there are some people who just won't, but there are other people who already did, and I'm trying to see where we are in that continuum, so to speak.
Yeah, I'd say we're about in the middle. We're about 50-50. I still have friends who are theater goers who will not come with me. They just are not ready. But look, a lot of people obviously are, and God bless them. They're in line, and they're really cheering hard and talking back. You know, it's really fun with some of these plays. It's almost like a call and response thing. So, yeah, I think we're almost there. You know, I really do. But, you know, I hate to be too optimistic, but, you know, shows are going on.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.